Hey there, listeners. This is Pat the Talking Bearskin Rug from Flame On right here on the Nerdy Show Network. If you're looking for some sweet nerdy queer in your ear, then head over to nerdyshow.com/flameon and check us out. We cover everything from TV to movies, comics to drag queens, and so much more. For a gay and geeky slice of pop culture life, get ready to flame on.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 122, and we turned 5 today.
Yay!
Woo! Exuberant.
We're gonna act like a bunch of 5-year-olds as we sit around this table, and
this many.
It's different.
In that case, should I tell you guys now I have to go to the bathroom?
I am your stupid awesome analyst, Jay. With me is the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
We have the fangirl, Victoria.
Hi!
Who's finally back for an episode.
Yay! I'm trying to actually be back for a while, if you'll have me.
If we'll have you.
Well, my job hours are a bit easier now, because the store closes at 2, and it's so nice!
I like that you're also wearing, you kind of have like this cooking mama thing going on. You've got the headband on, and let me guess, you wear the apron when you're at work.
Oh my god, that's all I'm gonna call you.
Oh no! I like my bandana. It's so comfortable because I don't have to care about my hair because it's really long and annoying.
The only reason you're wearing a bandana is because James wears a bandana. James wears a bandana because I told him he should start wearing bandanas.
No, James wears bandanas because of me. I have like 15 of them and I wear them because of Dana. So it's my fault that he wears them.
And the other voice that you're hearing around this table is clearly not our King Baby Duck Evan because he's actually in Ohio. So he wasn't able to join us for this episode.
Insert weeb joke here.
Actually, it's Jeff from Geeks New England and formerly of the Legends of Aramis podcast.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Did I get that title right?
It's Legends from Aramis. Legends. It doesn't
matter. Oh,
But formally.
I was just going to let it slide. I was like, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Do you want to explain the formally part?
Yeah, I'm not going to go into any details, because I'm pretty sure 90% of our viewership is...
From here?
Wicked
Anime
viewership. No! I haven't made an announcement on our Facebook page or our Twitter or anything yet, but the podcast is, after all, going to be discontinued. I know I assured everyone that probably wouldn't happen, but... I'm just going to go with things ended up changing, and because things ended up changing and a lot of other personal stuff, the podcast is just not going to continue anymore. Yeah.
I can level with you as somebody who edits audio in their free time, and my tracks are nowhere near the length of your tracks.
Oh, God.
And I will also say that I respect this decision as a player of the game, and it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful passion project, and I listened to every episode after it came out, and I was actually very excited, even though I was on it, and I was there to play it, I was very excited to hear
it. I remember this part!
Yeah,
well, the plan is at the moment we're still gonna play.
We're still going to play.
It's just gonna be a private home, like, private hanging game. Out. If people were to ask what's going on in the game,
oh yeah,
there's no problem in us, like,
because Geeks New England is still up. And you can
Geeks
still...
New England is still a thing. It still exists. I'm mostly going to be using it for homebrew material that I make for Dungeons and Dragons. And
I can tell Big Bad Shadow Man next time we play video games, just probably tonight.
Yeah.
We play every single night.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
That's good. Because we all play on Xbox.
Fan community.
Since, you know, I had a PlayStation. I still have a PlayStation, but other people don't play on the friggin' PlayStation system. Boys.
Well, I mean...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, no excuses.
A 10-hour job is a pretty good excuse.
I work just as much, guys. But yeah, no, like, I got an Xbox, now I play an Xbox, and yeah, I play with Big Bad. Like, he plays with all of James and our friend group and mm-hmm. all the time.
That's awesome.
Good. So I can tell him on there.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, this episode, we want to search the net for some really strange places that we could find in Japan for Andrew to go, possibly.
Swear
while
to God,
he's there.
If you come back with pictures of a nakery, I will be pissed.
Challenge accepted.
So I don't know if I told you guys. I think I might have told you in person. I have a friend at the bakery who he loves Rhode Island Comic Con. He goes to that stuff.
I believe I'm familiar with the story already. Go ahead.
Yes,
go ahead.
I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast at all. So I mentioned to him, oh yeah, no, I go. Like last year I had the press pass. It was really nice. He's like, wait, what? How do you get that? I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm on an anime podcast. And he's like, that's awesome. How can I join it? And I'm like, hang on. But
there's a lot of that going around.
There is.
You have a podcast? I want to be on your podcast.
Right?
No. But
well,
thanks.
I told him, I'm like, the last thing I need is another baker on the podcast because he's a legit cake decorator. He's amazing at what he does.
Yeah.
All his stuff is always beautiful. I'm always taking pictures of it. And he goes, he's like, well, why not? What's going on? I'm like, well, they keep pushing for me to open a nakery. And he got really excited and confused. And I explained what it was. And he was all
excited
for it.
Excited and confused?
Oh, he wanted to do it. He was like, wait, what is this? Yeah. He was all for it. So I'm like, great. And now I'm going to have to do it. Because now if someone will help me do it. It's like, no.
What's a nakery?
Okay, so
I have a thought in my head, and I don't know if it's the right thought.
So that's a very appropriate question. There was a story that we talked about long ago on the Wicked Anime podcast where there was a restaurant that opened up in Japan mm-hmm. that was for people who... It was a clothing optional restaurant.
All right, it is exactly what
people,
I thought it
people
was.
People wanted to dine nude. Yeah, but the reason why it was a story on our show was because there were specific... body dimensions that needed to be met in order to be allowed
in. No, body and age.
Body and age, yeah. So you need to be within a certain weight, you need to be a certain height, you need to be a certain age and attraction for it, and...
To eat there or to work there?
To eat there.
To eat there, yeah. They didn't actually talk about the employment of that place, whether or not it was also clothing optional for them, but yeah, that was the thing at one time.
Getting a work uniform would be really easy if you didn't have to change into
a
work uniform.
Yeah, probably be problems with, you know...
Sexual harassment?
No, I was going to go with cleanliness and hygiene.
Oh, there's that too.
Who cares about sexual harassment?
Yeah, because if you stand up at a table and you put food down in front of you, which I'm displaying right now, you figure it out for your own. And anybody who wants to find out, stand up at a regular table and try to put a plate of food down in front of you.
God.
Or watch the first 5 minutes of It's Such a Beautiful Day on Netflix.
Don Hertzfeldt, one of the greatest animators who ever lived.
Bill always grabbed the produce from the back of the rack because the front of the rack is exactly crotch height.
Yeah. Yeah. So, speaking of film, too, before we get into news pieces, we wanted to talk about that we gushed about this because we just saw it
Jonathan
last
night. And I.
That yeah.
The other two have not. Thing. But not, never for me. No, thank you.
Jeff is familiar with the property.
Yeah. We saw last night, Andrew and I saw the remake of Stephen King's It.
Yes.
And... I
can't even watch the trailer.
So going in,
the trailers are so good.
Going into this, I was very skeptical. Like,
I was not.
Yeah.
I was super excited to see this movie.
And I wasn't necessarily. I went into this property thinking, like, okay, this is going to be a horror remake in the same sense that we've been getting all this time. Hollywood destroys everything, and they're fresh out of ideas. So, like, all the advertising was Pennywise the Clown. Which is a great thing if it was Tim Curry, you know, but it's Bill Sarsgaard who we've had, like, I don't know, Divergent series? Okay.
Yeah, boo.
Yeah, so...
now I need to look up who this guy is, because
so
I know that.
He played Pennywise the Clown, and we were like, well, he's not going to be Tim Curry. You know, that was one of the major issues, because if anybody hasn't seen the 1990s version of It...
Which was a TV miniseries that they made into a movie.
For ABC... which was very good, but did not age well at all.
Well, it's still a classic.
Yeah.
As people still consider it to be
you know, a cult classic film mm-hmm. as far as horror movies go and Stephen King properties go.
Right. And Stephen King's It is one of the most renowned books in the series, probably is besides, like, The Stand.
The Stand and, yeah, and Pet Sematary did okay.
Pet Sematary, yeah. But we went to go see this remake of It, and Andrew, what did we think?
Oh my gosh, it was, if not the best horror movie I've seen this year, I'm adding it to my list of these Maybe are my best horror movies I've ever seen. It was terrifying. It was terrifying.
It was gruesome.
Much like the book. It was a happy medium between how horrible and nasty the book was and how ABC, the original miniseries, was.
Yeah.
And it was that nice R-rated gruesomeness in between book and ABC series.
Yep.
Like, if anybody has read the book out there and knows even just the opening scene with
Georgie,
when Georgie meets Pennywise at the sewer, good God, it was the most horrifying thing I've seen in movies
and
in a very long
not
time.
Not even because of violence or gore or gruesome or anything like that.
Pennywise was so unsettling.
Yep.
So unsettling.
They did this thing where they composed his eyes to always be in view. So when he was in the sewer, he had the shadow of the sewer grate going over his eyes, but his eyes were always glowing.
His eyes were CG'd throughout the whole movie, and they were slightly cockeyed.
Yeah.
Just to make it eerie and...
Yeah, it's just a sense of something's wrong.
Yeah, something's not right here.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
it was...
And the way that I described it is, like, if Tim Curry's Pennywise was the heads on a coin, Bill Sarsgaard's part was the tails. They were two completely different images, but they were both on something wonderful. Like, they were so good, terrifying. To their own regard, they played Pennywise the Clown perfectly. And Bill Sarsgaard actually went into this role, I read, saying that what Tim Curry did was legendary, and it was a very stressful thing to undertake that part. And so he wanted to do something different with the character, but he also wanted to be very respectful of what Tim Curry did with it as well. And I believe that was probably the best illustration, like what he did on screen was the best illustration of that.
Well, because like there's that scene in the beginning with Georgie's boat, and you know, Tim Curry went ahead and was like, "Don't you want your boat? Here, take it." You know, and Sarsgaard was like, getting angry, like, "Don't you want your boat? Take it." You know, and it was just this really...
But he had this clown smile on his face.
But it was very unnaturally done.
And
he was always had that smile on his face.
He was always drooling, too. Pennywise was always drooling as he was talking.
I read about that.
Yeah.
That there was this constant drool effect.
Almost as if he's hungry. You know, like, he's that hungry monster.
And I want to check it out for all the little nuances and stuff like that.
It's so good.
I had never been so unsettled by a horror movie in a long time. Like, rarely.
And Jonathan and I do this thing. We come from the movie industry, and we come from a thing where we have to, when we go see a movie, seeing the whole movie includes the credits, and we always sit through the credits until the very end, and the whole movie's over. I paid for the whole movie. I'm going to see the whole movie, including the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't not, like, as soon as the credits started rolling, we turned to each other and was like, "What did you think of that?" "Oh, I thought it was awesome." "I thought it was awesome too." And you know, like, and we never usually do that, but we just went off and we're just like, "I can't believe this movie. Like, this was so great."
Yep. It was so true to the book. They left out a lot of things that wouldn't work for screen that Stephen King wrote.
Which I'm happy about. Because I feel
because they were awful.
Because I feel like the same way when I went to go see Kick-Ass in theaters. Kick-Ass, I like elements of the movie better than I like the comic book.
Me too.
I think there's elements in the movie of Kick-Ass that I like much, much, much better than the comic book. Same with this. I think this movie was a very, very, very grand version of the book without the stuff that really was not necessary to progress the story.
And it's interesting you say that, because I know there's a lot of people out there who the original source material was considered untouchable.
Yes.
And, you know, forbid someone should make a film or something that tries to do something a little differently. I mean, there are elements of the Harry Potter movies that I think are better than the original novels.
Okay, yeah.
Elements.
Yeah, no, and that's totally cool.
And that doesn't mean that, you know, one is better than the other.
Yeah.
But, you know, with different medium, you can expand and look at things differently, alter the way things run.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I was just going through some of my old things over the weekend, and I found my novel of Stephen King's It. And I was like, maybe I should read this. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, the movie was so good that I don't know if I could subject myself to the terrifying book. And, you know, it was just,
Yeah.
But
there were some really... And this was interesting because there was a lot of CG in this one, which is usually a problem nowadays with horror movies when you CG something and you have
usually
CG
gore. Usually when you put
gore.
CG in a horror movie, it's like, okay, I get it. And,
yeah.
You know.
But this actually did it justice. Like, I
it
think
benefited
that,
from having
I
CG.
I think that practical effects probably would have limited them to the things that they subjected you to in this movie, which made it very scary.
If they did practical effects, though, like Rob Bottin style practical effects
from John Carpenter's The Thing, yeah,
and pulled it off correctly, it would have been a much more terrifying, yeah. like so terrifying that I don't think people could have seen it.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those things where people don't like CGI when they know it's CGI.
Yeah,
if they can do it enough, or they can do it in a way where it's not obvious.
Yeah, too clean and shiny.
There was a lot of CGI in this that was used very fast, too. So, like, whenever there was CGI moved, there were things running around really fast. There were practical effects in it. Like, when the leper shows up outside of the house, like, that was a very clear costume. And the fact that they elongated his arms down past his knees, too, was a very scary thing for, like, a character element. So when he was running, it was kind of flailing like a pool noodle. And it was very strange. And... like I just enjoyed I enjoyed it so much, and here's something that I learned about it too, was that the budget for the movie was only $35 million, which nowadays, I mean, like,
that's a low number.
Think about the crap that they pump out, that they pump hundreds of millions of dollars into,
and they're just like, it'll do great in China.
Yeah,
and they don't care about their
right.
American
like
audience.
The Avengers movies that while they do make its money back here, they make most of their money overseas because they want to see a spectacle of awesome CG effects. Whereas it wasn't that. It's going to make its money back in just a few weeks because every theater is sold out.
All the Jonathan and I tried to go see it because I was just like, hey, one night I was just like, hey, we should try to go see this. All the premium theaters are sold out. Mm-hmm. You for the next couple days. All the night showings and even the day showings are booked. Yeah.
So we had to go to a small little premiere theater in Hingham,
in
near the shipyard, near Wahlburgers.
And we got a matinee show.
Yep, for $7.
Half the theater was full. It was perfectly fine, you know.
And then we left the theater, and then there was a movie on a showing of It. Afterwards,
and
when we
was,
were leaving, and it was
that
packed.
Was booked.
There was like a line out the door for it.
So this is doing really, really well,
which that's I'm good. Happy about, because anybody who has read Stephen King's It knows that the first 500 pages of the book is children, and the last 500 pages is them 27 years later as an adult. Which, by the way, if you don't know, the original release of the series the ABC miniseries came out in 1990. 27 years ago.
I did actually catch that online. Someone
Which,
put it out, and I was like, huh.
Yeah. Yes. Anybody who hasn't seen...
That feels planned.
Yeah. Anybody who hasn't seen or read the original It, you will understand when you see the movie, but just keep in mind that this movie came out 27 years after the original series. So, like, just... They had
I don't know what... I know nothing about what's the video.
They were
I'm
like,
really curious.
Yeah, everybody remember Victoria's on this podcast.
You like clowns.
Right? Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, speaking of which, the acting in it was incredible. Like, I'm very sad that none of the child actors are going to be in the next movie because they...
But who in the hell are they going to use for the adult actors?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a very interesting
thing.
They're
making another one of it?
Yes.
Well, because it's
the second half.
It's a two-part story.
Oh,
kids.
I know that.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
I know
yeah.
nothing about this.
So
yeah, I
first
don't want to.
The first 500 pages of the book are them as children. And then the second 500 pages of the book are
is when they're 40.
Is when they're 40 years old 27 years later.
Now 13. I get the 27.
Yeah, they're 13. And so when this is kind of a spoiler, but not really. It's more just titles and effects. When the title of the movie shows up, it just says It. Yep.
When the movie ends, it says it again, and then a chapter one appears.
It fades in.
Yeah. That's how the movie ends. And I was just like, whoa! Like, they're already planning on making chapter two.
Because I would have been disappointed if they didn't.
Exactly. I would have been disappointed,
well,
too.
Well, they had no plans for chapter two yet because they didn't know how the first one was going to do. You know? But I guess Stephen King's name behind this was good enough for people to
get
butts in seats. But I there was part of me that was like, I kept looking at my watch through the movie, or at least rather, some part of me felt like I didn't want to keep looking at my watch because I had high hopes that we were going to see the adults, mm-hmm. you know, and like there was going to be a glimpse of them, but there wasn't.
That would have been cool if they flash forward to the adults and be like, these are the actors, and then that would be it.
Yeah, know? something like that. 27 years later, just the four of them standing there, or how many people are there?
There's
five.
No, there's there's eight.
There's seven. No, eight. No, there's six of them. Bill, Rich.
The beginning of the movie, how many are there?
I don't remember. Bill, Rich, Mike, Stan, Ed,
Bev,
and the fat kid that I can't remember his name. Like,
Mar? Yeah. I feel like it's an M, but I don't.
Yeah.
Hey, you?
Yeah. I feel bad because Bev gives him like a nickname and his real name is part of that nickname and I can't remember the nickname. But so there's seven of them.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Oh, it's Ben. Ben from Soch.
Ben from Soch.
Yeah. That's another part of this movie too. In the 1990 series, it was from the 50s, like the original book was. When they were kids, they were in the 1950s, then they grew up 27.
Because they bring it to the present.
Yeah. Now, in this movie, which is a little weird for people, it takes place in 1989. So there's...
So that it can take place in the present.
Yeah.
Right. And the next movie can take place in the present.
Right. I was so happy with that they had the kid who played Rich in the cast, who was the kid who played the main character.
Who played Mike from Stranger
Things.
Yes.
And yeah. He does phenomenal. Actually,
I couldn't believe you, though, Jonathan. Halfway through the movie, he goes... That's Mike from Stranger Things. And
I was
like, duh?
Yeah. He was wearing these Coke bottle glasses. I couldn't see him
No,
fully.
But the thing is, like, I knew that since the trailer dropped.
That
I
was
didn't.
One of the things people were talking about.
Yeah, like, and I stayed away from everything in this movie because I wasn't expecting anything from it. So.
I know, and I was just like, yeah, Jonathan, I know.
Okay, and then the last thing before we actually get onto where we finally talk about anime on this podcast.
Yeah.
We were sitting in the theater and...
There were
these two old ladies who were sitting in front of us that were probably like in their early 60s, maybe.
Was in her 60s, one had to be in her 70s.
Yeah, who were thoroughly, like, I would imagine that they were around when Stephen King dropped the book. Like, they were around for it.
I read this in my third grade class.
Yeah.
I hope not.
It was so scary.
Seeing that it opens up with homophobia and murder and stuff like that. But they were having the time of their lives. But the thing of it was, they were having the time of their lives sitting three seats apart from each other. So, like, one lady was sitting here, and then three seats over was the older lady. Like,
were there people between them?
No, there wasn't. I think they put their purses,
their coats and
their
purses.
Coats and belongings there. So whenever, like, they were laughing. Yeah, like, every time they got scared, they screamed, and, like...
And then they started laughing about it.
And then,
like, that's so scary.
Yeah. It was so cute.
Yeah. And it was kind of like when we got into the theater, we were like, oh no, this is going to be annoying. And then like halfway through the movie, we were just like, go old ladies, go.
Like they were talking about arbitrary things. Oh, he's the one afraid of clowns, right?
Yeah.
You know, like. And
but across three
but
seats
talking
from
across
each
three
other.
Seats from each other. So they had to be sure, and they were old, so they had to be sure that they heard each other,
yes,
too.
Yes, of
so,
course.
So naturally, we heard, and then like eventually, like it went from going like, oh, great, to like.
Pointing at them. Ladies, say funny things.
So it was right around the third act where like we started enjoying them and they were, you know.
Yes. Yes, that is our thoroughly impressed and happy review.
Please,
of seeing Stephen King's It, go see it.
Yeah, please prepare your hearts to be terrified if you are not one for horror movies, but I highly recommend this film.
Because we all know the Victorias of the world are going to go see it.
I'm not going. Like, never. You can't make me.
But Mike from Stranger Things is in it.
I know that. He's adorable, but no.
It took me forever to just watch Stranger Things. Yeah. I was like, what the hell? Yeah, this looks really scary.
Yeah. It took her a while to see it.
Oh, man, but
I marathoned it in a day.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Japan when Stranger Things comes out on Netflix.
Ah, suffer.
You would not have Netflix?
I
mean, it'd be really stupid if on your Japan trip you sat a day and just watched on Netflix.
Oh,
but
man.
We also wouldn't judge you.
I could watch the whole thing on my flight home.
There you go.
From Japan.
How mm-hmm. long is a flight to and from Japan?
Well, I'm going to be flying... Okay, so when I leave Boston, it's a 16-hour flight from Boston to Hong Kong, and then I have a 5-hour layover in Hong Kong, and then a 2-hour flight to Taiwan. And then I'm flying from Taiwan to Okinawa, which is only like 2 hours, and then I'm flying back to Taiwan, and then I'm flying back to Tokyo, and that's like a 3-hour flight. So I'm going Boston, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Okinawa, Taiwan, Tokyo.
Why are you...
Taiwan is where he's going for his film orientation stuff.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And then we're flying back to Taiwan to do post-production and editing.
That makes more sense. Yes. You're in Okinawa already.
I haven't really heard how you... So what's going on?
So my uncle knows the guy who leads this project.
Okay.
He's the director or the first unit director.
Okay.
So I got hooked up on this project to go over, and I'm a trainee. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to a training seminar in Taiwan, and then as a trainee, finding out what my skill is, and it's a half animation movie, half live action. We as the film crew are going over to film the live action stuff, but I'm going to be in touch with the animation team and talking with mm-hmm. them about that. And then and then we do post-production and editing back in Taiwan again after we're done shooting.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like a set program. It's a training program. And after the training, I graduate. There's like a graduation ceremony, and I actually become certified to work with these people. And if I want to go back, I can.
Cool.
I don't know if I will. Mm-hmm. That's up in the air. But that ends on November 4th. So from November 4th to November 8th, I'm taking my own money and my own time to travel over to Tokyo, and I have very specific stops mm-hmm. that I want to make and go. And
oh, you won't be here for my birthday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You've never been there for my birthday.
I know. just know that on your birthday, I'm having a great time.
Oh, excellent. That makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
Good.
Okay. Would you technically be having... great time earlier? I don't know. Is it
like yeah, that's right. He's been having a great time on Jeff's birthday, but in the future.
Yeah. Thank you for understanding what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
He'll be on the other side of the world, and he's going to wish you a happy birthday. He's like, but my birthday's not for 16 hours. Yeah. He's like, not here. I'm enjoying your birthday.
Right now.
So get this. My flight home from Narita Airport is at 5:30. I arrive back in Boston at 7:30 on the same day. It's a 2-hour flight from Narita Airport to Boston.
Careful with those temporal portals.
Make sure no flies get in there. Nothing. So that's so weird. That's so weird. We'll see Andrew overhead. He's up there in a million pieces.
Yeah, in a million pieces.
Look at the screen. He's coming through. Let's put him through the taffy puller.
It's meant to be smaller, so.
Just reach out and take it. Yeah, so I'm incredibly excited.
Me too.
That's so cool.
Yeah, this is beyond thrilling to me. I had already planned to go to Japan in the spring. Of 2018, I wanted to make that my own personal trip and just
make go.
A goal. Yeah, and have that time to myself and visit for 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then this opportunity was kind of just presented to me. And I met the guy that I'm going to be meeting over there in Taiwan. And I was like, man, like I would just love some time to fly over to Tokyo. And, you know, I don't know if we'll have that time. So I'm going to... I'm planning on going later. And he looked at me. He's like, you're not going back to work until the 13th. I was like, yeah. He's just like, just fly to Tokyo in a couple of days. And I looked at him with like this weird look. And I was like, yeah, I think I will. Like,
why not?
And so it was really weird booking 3 flights in 3 different currencies. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I booked a flight in USD. I booked a flight in Taiwanese. And I booked a flight in yen.
Taiwanese.
Well, yeah,
is that what their currency is called?
It's called the new Taiwanese dollar.
Is
so,
it?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, the TWD. So new Taiwanese dollar. So yeah, so booking it in Taiwanese.
So eventually we talk about anime on this podcast.
All right. What's that?
Yeah. So let's ring the news bell. Thank you. News bell Chan.
Yeah.
Thank you. If you haven't been here a lot.
I was there when he gave it to you.
I know you were there when he gave it to you, but you haven't been on a podcast since we used it.
I know, that's true.
So,
really? Oh, okay. No, I haven't. I was just there when you got it. I saw what it was before you did. Yes, I think. Yeah. I was like, no, you totally my did. God. You have
Open this. Open it
right now. Oh, wait. No, that's also the person who drew the Nakery, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is. It's the same person. Yeah, Wicked Fan Ian. Yeah. And Jeff, this is Newsbell Chan. We don't have a fan art of her yet. So.
Okay.
Why is it her?
Because it's Chan. Yeah, that's what it was given to us. It was written on the inside. It's written on the inside of the box that we still have and that we carry around in.
You could call a little boy Chan too.
That's no, true. But we do have which Evan supplied for us. Whistle Coon. Yeah, he's a slide whistle that
that Evan just brings to the show.
Which he talked about during his experience of watching Bible Black.
Yeah.
oh, boy.
So,
All right.
You haven't met Evan.
No, but I know what Bible Black is.
All right. So, we have a couple news pieces that we want to talk about. First and foremost being the one that I wanted to talk about, which was Netflix revealed a show called Neo Yokio.
I read it as Yokio.
Yeah. It's a series. It's a collaboration between Production IG, Studio Dean, which we're not really a fan of, but Production IG is great, and then Jaden Smith and the lead singer of Vampire Weekend.
Huh?
What's his name? Ezra Cohen.
Isn't Jude Law in it as well?
Yeah, somewhere along the lines.
He's a Transformer.
What? Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it looks like a very show that's very anime.
I'm looking through a very show.
Yes,
Netflix.
I said that.
A very show.
It's a very show that's very anime.
What's it called again?
Neo Yokio.
I'm on.
Which Netflix. Here's the trailer for. Oh wow, this is a trailer that I actually haven't seen much.
Are you gonna share? Turn the computer.
I can't. It'll pull.
Well, I've never seen this.
Is the greatest city in the world. It is a diverse labyrinth.
See, it's already Jude Law.
And architectural innovation.
Doesn't it kind of look like the Boondocks?
We need to discuss
a little bit, but with production IGs.
We've seen a dramatic rise in occult activity.
You have a sacred duty to protect the city as well as our family name.
Oh my god, I know that actress too.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon.
I told you to clear my schedule.
What the actual fuck?
That was interesting.
So, yeah.
What?
Yeah. So, it's weird because I can really see Studio Dean's effort that they put into it in the animation. It's weird, right?
Like,
seems like it's very self-aware. It does, but part of me wonders, like, some of the voice acting that I hear in there, like that demon that was talking in that jive speak, was kind of like, you know how they make cartoon caricatures of people in the Boondocks? I feel like that's what they did, but it was supposed to be taken seriously. I'm not sure because it's taken out of context in a trailer.
This does not look serious at all.
I don't think so.
It's not.
And yeah, the fact that like Jude Law is a Transformers that is standing
just
there.
Because.
And, yeah,
and it's a 1980s Transformer too. Like, yeah, he looks like Megatron.
So I don't think that this is supposed to be taken seriously. But a part of me is like,
because dude, they even took that whole tweet phase that Jaden Smith went through, and he started tweeting really deep things, and they had him say one of those quote unquote deep lines in the trailer, and so he's even caricaturing himself in this. He's poking fun at himself. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes, but
that's really weird.
I find it kind of fascinating that this became a culmination of sorts. Just it's showing you how close we're getting to anime becoming a normalcy, you know, because I mean, this, it almost has that same vibe that that the Voltron remake, you know, did for me, in a sense that like they took this really old anime property and they're turning it into a new Americanized thing
now what they're doing is kind of the opposite, where they're taking this Americanized thing and they're turning it into an anime.
I was really scared. I was like, please don't bash on Voltron. I love Voltron.
No, no, Voltron. Oh, no, we freaking love Voltron.
I was going to say, I don't want to fight with you.
No, Voltron's great. But we haven't even finished season two yet. We're very far behind. I know.
It's short. It's short.
I know, but season two is a little slow. And season three's out right now, so.
Yeah.
Season two is not the same appeal as season one, but I hear season three kind of fixes that. So.
I'm fully caught up on all of it, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Yes, please. But I can't wait for this, because
that's another thing I can watch on my flight.
Finish Voltron.
Yeah, I can't wait for this specifically because it's a Netflix series, and based on our last reaction to our Netflix series, which anybody hasn't listened to, episode 121 of
Death
them.
Note.
Yeah, which where we talked about Death Note.
I like that actor. That's why I'm like, I don't want to watch that. Like,
which actor? Willem Dafoe, because he was the best part of.
I was going to ask, how was Dafoe as
the
as
best?
Luke?
The best
was
part of that movie.
Part of the whole movie is Willem Dafoe.
No, I'm pretty sure the guy is. Nat Wolf, and I loved him when I was younger because he was in a couple different TV shows, and he's in some chick flicks. Like,
is he like the Eye of a Nicholas Spark movie?
What was it? It's one of the Fine Brothers.
Isn't the guy who plays, I'm going to air quote Light. Isn't the guy who plays Light Quicksilver in the X-Men movies?
No, he's not. He looks similar, but no.
He's a little bit fuller figured than the old guy. He's got like a fuller face.
He's in Paper Towns, which...
Nope.
Paper Towns, Fault in Our Stars. Literally the same author. Total chick flicks.
I know of
John Green.
Yes, thank you.
Who's basically the teen Nicholas Sparks.
Yes. He's amazing.
No,
but,
but okay.
Like, he's literally in, like, all the chick flicks, and then he was in a Nickelodeon TV show way back when, in, like, 2005, called The Naked Brothers Band, that I didn't watch.
He was in that series?
He's one of the brothers!
Oh my gosh, that's
him
hilarious!
Him and his brother! And they're actors now, and...
And now he's playing Light Turner.
In fairness, they were actors then.
True.
Yeah, but now he's an actor who speaks for himself, because he's over 18.
And he's rated R movies.
Yeah.
He's a serious actor, because he plays rated R movies!
And basically our whole retelling of the movie, of the Netflix movie of Death Note last episode was, we recommend you watch it because it's silly.
Yeah,
we highly recommend that you watch that film. It's great. back to more anime stuff, I wanted to talk about the return of Misty and Brock to the Pokemon series. They're currently airing...
How are they doing this?
I don't... They're currently airing Sun and Moon.
Going on vacation.
And I want to... X and Y was really good. The anime for X
I've
and
heard
Y.
X and Y was very good.
It was really good, but I never caught up on it and never got to see the rest of it.
I started watching Black and White because I heard Black and White was pretty
good. I liked Black and White.
I didn't watch X and Y, but I was active enough in the Pokemon community that I saw a lot of people reacting to X and Y and talking about how awesome it was.
I actually didn't watch Black and White. I watched Diamond and Pearl. I really like Diamond and Pearl.
Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
So are we saying that, like, nobody ages in the Pokemon world then?
Because
if they're showing up again, we all know Ash is just in perpetual 13-year-old.
Vampires? But...
No, he's a perpetual 10-year-old.
I'm sorry, even worse.
He should be 15 at least by now.
Yeah.
Why?
No, he's 11 because there was literally an episode where they had his birthday.
Didn't they really?
Or it wasn't his birthday. It was an episode where he's like, Pikachu, it's been 1 year since we met. And it's like, okay, so by logic, you must be at least 11 now.
Or definitely in a coma. Like, definitely in a coma. All right, I'm going to look up stills from the Pokemon Sun and Moon anime so you can see how it looks. And it's very strange. Like... The artwork is very off-putting.
Is that this?
I mean, that's a
yes.
shot of him, yeah.
Let me see.
It's... I don't find it that off-putting.
Oh,
it's
I really like that.
I don't
that.
Hate it, but...
Okay, so that still...
It's already a talking Pokedex, so it's weird to begin with.
That still right there is a lot better than the promotional work that I saw earlier. The screen cap that they took to do this was a lot different. I'm wondering if I can...
Oh, man, they looked awful on that screen cap.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking
about. And I don't remember where I...
Put in that, but put in Misty and Brock, and it'll probably come up.
Yeah, you're right.
What did you put in? I just put in Sun and Moon anime. There it is! This one?
There it is.
So this one's a lot weirder. Which I can't turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the one we saw.
Yeah.
So that one's a lot weirder. And then there's also an even stranger one where they're, like, at a campfire with each other. And, you know, they just got smiles and they're looking up at the... It's a key visual for advertisement purposes. And the drawing was terrible. Like, whoever drew that key... Here it is. This key visual is awful. Like, look at this. That is a terrible key visual.
Even Pikachu looks weird in that.
Even Pikachu looks
the
weird.
The Pokemon so far have looked great in this series. It's just the people that are a little odd.
Yeah. Like, Ash looks the strangest in this one because I'm trying to put my finger on exactly who he looks like, but it's a character with a mustache. Because he kind of looks like...
Now you've said that and I kind of see the same thing.
But he kind of looks like Ushio from Ushio and Tora. No, I actually think he looks more like Tora. I think he looks like Tora from Ushio and Tora. Now that you mention it.
He just looks so weird.
But it's just different. And it's odd because I think this is really cool. I think this is neat that Misty and Brock are coming back. Like, the idea of that is neat. But I think it's also them pandering to the nostalgia age that we are currently in.
True. With Pokemon Go, we're all kind of still like, oh, hey, Pokemon.
Yeah, and... back. I want to see repercussions of Misty being very jealous that Serena was the first girl that got to kiss Ash.
That was adorable.
Yeah, and I want to see Misty being so angry and...
Oh, is that... That's gotta be fake.
Why, what is it? It's Serena and...
Misty and glaring.
Really? Oh my gosh.
It's got... I don't think that happened.
Yeah, no, there's no way, but...
Yeah,
it's, but that's... It's definitely not the Sun and Moon...
That's season one of X and Y, too, based on Serena's design there.
Yeah. Oh, because she has the long hair?
Yes.
Yeah. The Pokemon world is a funny thing, for sure. So, yeah, and it's really weird that the fact that this is going to perpetuate the fact that it's all one adventure, right? You know, if you think about it, if they parted at one point and then they come back together to meet, and it's going to be very strange, the fact that they're perpetuating. Yeah, they really did move away for each other. They didn't see each other for a whole week. You know, like...
Yeah, a week or a month, maybe. Yeah.
Like, something like that.
It makes... And it's so... It, oh,
sorry, sorry I missed your one birthday, Ash.
Seasons change in the anime, too. Like, there's seasonal changes. But he's still somehow the same age through all of time.
Any sense.
So, just think about it in the sense as flying from Narita Airport to Boston in 2 hours.
Yeah, right. Man, I don't know. I mean, unless, like, in the Arceus movie, Arceus, like, was like... Eternal youth! And left. But that still doesn't explain the entire four-season journey or what have you.
Yeah, so...
I've heard a theory that that episode when he sees Ho-Oh at the very beginning, because Ash wants nothing more than to go on a Pokemon journey, there was like his desires were made real, or some bullshit like that.
Yeah. See, but now, how would they explain Brock and Misty not aging either?
Because he became their friends and got pulled into his curse.
Yeah, they are subsequently living with Ash now. They don't know this, but Ash owns their souls. Yeah. And I think it's weird because these characters are returning for a generation who are starting on Pokemon now, probably.
Yeah.
And they won't really know the significance of Ash and Brock, or Misty and Brock, I would think.
That's true.
Which is still this very weird trend.
I found a Bulbasaur in a Halloween costume. It's really cute.
There's still this really weird trend of them bringing back series that kids will enjoy, but they put in nostalgic things for older people.
I think it's actually a very good thing, because as long as you don't
need... brought DuckTales back, so I'm happy.
Yeah, as long as you don't need to know... Like, you don't need to know who Brock and Misty were to enjoy whatever hijinks they get into.
Yeah.
For a kid who's never seen the other... seasons.
But there is going to be a point in time where they're going to be like, hey, Ash, remember us? And all the kids in the audience are going to be like, no. So, like,
yeah, but they'll probably just, you know, yeah, of course, you guys are my friends. And they'll be like, oh, they're his friends. And that's it.
I'm a child.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But it's in the same sense, the thing that I'm thinking of, it's in the same sense that they're bringing back Hey Arnold for one single solitary movie that's going to end the series.
I'm excited for that too.
Yeah. But the kids who are watching Nickelodeon right now aren't going to be.
They're like, what the hell is that show?
It should be in theaters for us to go see.
And they'd make a lot of money.
It should be rated R.
It should be rated R.
I mean, they
did that with the Toy Story series. Like,
they made it rated R?
No. The idea, I remember when Toy Story 3 came out, there were so many people being like, this is our movie, not your movie. This is for us.
Andy's going to college.
And it's one of the things where it's like, I think you're right. It is for us. But that doesn't mean they can't also enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's so that we can enjoy it with the kids.
So, Andrew, you have some gaming news, right?
I do.
Before we move on to our topic.
It's not as much news as it is I got to play the Monster Hunter Stories demo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And, yeah, I was surprised. Like, I got an email from Nintendo, and they're like, it's out. Play the demo. And I was like, okay. And so I went on to my 3DS, booted up the demo, and started playing it. I was really surprised that the full character creation system is in the demo so that you can create your character and carry it over once you actually got the new game. And all your data that you save get from the demo just carries right into your data to the game, so you don't have to do the tutorials again and you don't have to do all that stuff. It's really cool. And it's incredibly cute. So, as everybody knows, Monster Hunter is a very, you know, Capcom-y, very serious. I mean, it has playful aspects to it, but it's a hard game. It's not for kids.
It's like Dark Souls almost.
Yeah, I always attribute Monster Hunter to the reason why I can play games like Dark Souls and Bloodborne so well. Because I know how a game works where it's like, oh, you're not fighting this character, you're fighting their animations.
Right.
And I just know how to play that, so I attribute my Monster Hunter playing and training to being able to play games like that. That's how hard Monster Hunter is. And you have to be patient, and you have to be tactful, and you have to be all these things. Monster Hunter Stories is a departure to that. I think that's why they gave it the Stories title. And we've been, here on Wicked Anime, we've been following the development for Monster Hunter Stories forever, and all of our actual hunters that we have here on in the fan base for that, we've been discussing Monster Hunter Stories, and you know, it finally got its release date for the United States,
which is
they said fall, but so I don't know the exact date, and it for all I know, it could actually be out right now, and I just downloaded the demo when I could have bought the game. So basically, I was playing the demo, and the character you create, the character creation system in this one is actually far more in-depth than it is for regular Monster Hunter. Until Monster Hunter World comes out, that is. So you create your character, you customize their eyes, their mouth, their hair, their hair color, their skin color, their size, and all this stuff. And then they take your character and actually use your character in the cinematics. And your character, you know, makes facial expressions, reacts to situations, interacts with the monsters in the stories, interacts with the characters in the stories, and it's funny, it's cute, your character is so enthralling because you actually feel like, oh my gosh, I'm watching my character do these things. So, obviously, people who know me from my Monster Hunter thing, I make the same character every Monster Hunter game. Her name is Rio, and she's my hunter character for everything. I made Rio again for this one, and I just made a chibi kid version of Rio, because, you know, you play an adult in the Monster Hunter games. In stories, you play a kid. So it's literally a kid version of Rio. She has the same face paint. She has the same hairstyle with the same color, you know, and I just, the whole time I was playing it, you can't help but smile.
It's kind of like Muppet Babies version of
Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Muppet Babies. and so playing this is very different. It's not as violent. It's not as, it's very toony.
It's not as intense.
You tickle the monsters to make them sleep.
Yeah. And you could almost consider the graphics to be better than actual Monster Hunter, because in Monster Hunter, the main Monster Hunter series, they crush textures, like realistic textures, into the
you know, 3DS size the files that they have.
Which are probably like 256 pixels.
So you see like ground textures stretched like crazy and like, oh, that doesn't look so great and that rock is just four polygons. But this game is completely hand-painted and cel-shaded.
There's something to be said of stylized art. Like
Exactly.
World of Warcraft, for example, is not hyper-realistic, but it's a wonderful art style and that looks really good.
It looks really good. And
that way they can spend all their time on their cinematic trailers.
Well, the thing is, you can put so much more data into hand-painted textures than you can with putting pictures into texture data and then fixing them and making it this really detailed thing. Mm-hmm. So technically, the art style may look better than actual Monster Hunter, which is kind of interesting to think about when you think about it, because it's a non-main story game. And the way that this game is played is a rock-paper-scissors system. So you find monsters, you hatch them, and they become your own. You can ride on them, which is neat. I'm trying to find a Narakuga, I'm trying to find a Zenogre, and I'm trying to find... those are the two main ones that I'm looking for. Narakuga and an Azuros. Those are the ones I'm trying to ride. And then you play a rock, paper, scissors kind of battle game against other monsters. And it's really interesting. And then you have like special attacks. Any Monster Hunter fan, I recommend you check it out. Non-Monster Hunter fans, you can try it as well. I just don't know what your experience would be like because I don't know if you need to appreciate Monster Hunter in its fullness or not.
Okay, so we were thinking about going over some places for you to go.
We did ask you guys, the fans, to make some suggestions on, hey, where are some weird places that I should visit while I'm in Akihabara?
We got a couple.
Yeah, we didn't get some responses from you guys, but we're going to give you what we came up with as we went through this whole adventure. And because by the time this recording comes out, I'm already going to be gone.
Yeah.
So when you guys listen to this, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in a different country.
Yeah. You're going to be in Akihabara for your time staying there. And one of the things that they have there
is... I'm going to be staying in Akihabara.
Yeah. They have capsule hotels there.
They do. I thought about staying in a capsule hotel for a night.
I don't know why. God forbid you find out you're claustrophobic while you're in that.
Well, that would be really weird. Do you get a refund for being claustrophobic? Be a
very good learning experience.
Yeah. I mean, they look like microwaves.
I feel like...
There were a couple things stopping me from it. They speak English there, so it's totally cool. I wouldn't have any place for my luggage, and there's public bathing. Not that I'm afraid of public bathing. I'm actually kind of almost looking forward to possibly experiencing public bathing. Just to see what it's like and having that experience being in a different country, because they don't care.
That is kind of a weird thing to think about, is public bathing. I want to try that.
But I don't know what their rules are.
You won't know if they're talking shit about you, though. Just saying. Look at that hairy guy over there. Oh, my God.
All I'm going to say is I'm very confident. So
I wasn't even talking about anything.
I will not be bothered.
What do you think he was talking about?
Yeah, I'm shutting my face now. Goodbye.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Done conversation. Whenever guys talk about being confident, what do you think I'm talking about? Great.
Drawing skills?
Yes. He's very good at drawing.
Because I will be bringing my iPad Pro into the...
Brand new fancy technology.
Oh my God, that one's fascinating.
I hate you guys.
Oh my gosh. So where's the next place?
Well, actually, it wasn't really a next place, but we did get a request from Gerardo who... wanted you to find certain vending machines.
And I told him challenge accepted.
Yeah, it was a panty vending machine, which
it's so wrong.
It doesn't exist. You don't have to worry
about it. Better not, don't believe really that. Wrong.
You don't believe that?
Well, challenge accepted, because I have done my own research after he asked me, and I may or may not have found where they might actually exist.
Okay, so they totally existed after people came up with that rumor.
Probably, though. Yes, yeah. Because I did in fact see an article written by somebody who said they are in fact a myth. But right now, people are saying they are not a myth anymore.
Japan, you disgust me!
And we have discussed it here on our show that it was a myth, but that was not first-hand experience. So I'm going to go and get some first-hand experience and actually look for these things, see if they actually exist.
Just please, for your own health, don't buy anything.
I'm not going to buy anything. And I don't think it's actually sanitary. Seeing how sanitary the Asian countries actually are, I don't think they're real used panties and vending
machines. Might be, and then they just wash them and
Yeah.
You know, hey, this has been used.
Yeah, so it's not going to be...
There's not going to be like skid marks on them or anything.
Yeah, I don't know what a skid mark.
Well, it could be.
Well,
you know, washing only gets so far.
That's a pretty deep skid mark, I'm just saying. So.
I don't want to talk about Zane.
I know, I really don't care.
You started.
I know.
Anyways, listen, this is what I do want to talk about, is I want to talk about weirder vending machines that you could possibly come across. One that I came across was the Flying Fish Soup vending machine.
That's right.
Yeah. Which it has, it's like really a bottle of water, looking. It has a full flying fish in it, and it, you, and I think you drink the broth because I don't think the fish comes out.
What does it do? Oh my god!
If you can get a hook in there, get it right around the lip and just pull hard enough.
Although
imagine fish out through the mouth.
I'm just saying, like, imagine if you're drinking, all of a sudden the fin just hits you in the face. Like, no. That's so gross.
I would definitely buy it to try it, though.
Yeah.
I can see you buying that.
I like fish. I like seafood. So
amongst those other ones, too, they have vending machines that are for, like, fruit and vegetables and stuff like that. Which, the only thing that makes me think of is that episode of The Office where Dwight takes over and he takes all the snacks out of the vending machine and he's using a hammer to
make them healthy.
To make them healthy, he's like hammering in a clove of lettuce and like it's just getting destroyed. And then a week, I said clove, right?
You did. It's okay.
And then a week later, there's just like flies like all around the inside of the vending machine. That's the only thing I can think about for this. But they have like bananas and they have oranges and they had eggs. You can buy a dozen eggs for $2 from a vending machine. Yep. But how does that work? Did like the fall out of the vending machine and
I'm
sure it's more of a, you know,
like one of the door kind of.
Yeah.
What about there was one that you did find that has living creatures in
it? Oh,
the
like
puppy
it.
Vending
I
machine.
Don't like it. Vending I don't vending like it. That's so weird.
It's the same thing as a Pet Express.
See, I think it's literally
the same thing.
The reason I don't like it is because when you say vending machine, my brain went to the claw game and I literally picture just like
I know. I want to imagine.
Farewell, my friends.
No!
I go off to a
I want to make me break the microphone.
I want to imagine a gachapon vending machine, so they're in like big, like gachapon, like bubbles, so it like rolls out.
Oh, that's our puppy.
It's a German Shepherd. Oh, it's a Chihuahua.
I still think this is one of those situations where it's like, what is the definition of a vending machine? Yeah. This is technically a vending machine based on that definition.
Yeah, where the rings turn and then like, oh, my puppy got stuck.
Break it out, Ben!
Next weird place.
Found a zoo that's really weird.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so is that the name of the zoo?
Ueno Zoo Escape Animal Drill. I guess Ueno Zoo would be the
okay,
place.
So it's a zoo in Tokyo. Wild beast breaks loose from Tokyo Zoo to the delight of Japanese children. I still can't read, even the second time around. So apparently, this is what this description says. I'm trying to like skip down a bit. Zookeepers dress up in an elaborate animal costumes to make a break for it, while 150 of their colleagues, together with the police and emergency workers, practice how they would handle the situation if an animal really were to break loose. They will shoot them with fake tranquilizer darts.
I want to go to this. I mean, like, they do this
how
for
do
children,
they,
but
actually,
I would totally be into this.
Actually, how do you get picked to be the animal? I wonder if there's, like, because you're going to get shot and chased by your friends.
Is it just staff? Is it staff or
no,
is it patrons?
Yeah, no, it's definitely staff, but, like, okay, who did the worst this week? You were late to work today. Guess what you get to do?
I guarantee there'd be people being like, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah. That's awesome. It's hilarious.
They're getting shot with a tranquilizer dart.
I'm a bear.
It's fake.
I'm a bear. Gow, gow.
Tranquilizer dart.
I want to see somebody get judo thrown. Like it'd basically be watching a furry get judo thrown to the ground. It's like, take that!
Okay, it's only practice every other year in the beginning of February. I just found that.
Oh no.
That's depressing.
Disappointing.
So Andrew won't be able to go see it.
Yeah. 150 employees chasing after one animal though. Sounds like a blast.
Employees, cops, and policemen. And fire department
yeah,
too.
There you go.
Emergency workers.
I remember you talking about a specific museum that's actually
in Tokyo.
Within reach of me that I am actually.
It's renowned.
If you take pictures, I'll be so mad at you.
It's renowned as the only one of its kind in the entire world. At least that's what they claim. It has 45,000 different species of parasites on display, including the world's longest tapeworm.
Ew.
And a turtle that has its head filled with bugs.
Yeah. We're supposed to be going to eat dinner after this.
That's true, yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, parasites freak me out anyway, but I also think they're fascinating. But it's definitely going to be like, as soon as I walk out, it's going to be like, why am I itchy? Like, do I have that parasite? I must have that parasite.
You're going to need all the
headshots.
It's
like going to WebMD.
No.
It's like,
you have, I would line up a tetanus shot right after, though. Just
tetanus ain't gonna help.
Yeah.
You.
And I already do have my
tetanus. You would need the tetanus shot for the Alcatraz.
The Alcatraz restaurant.
It's like sitting in a dirty, dirty restaurant.
If anyone listening, just Google the Alcatraz ER restaurant in Japan, because like the
awesome.
Picture of the dude in the doorway is just super creepy. He looks so happy, though.
And then there's the robot restaurant.
Yeah, the robot restaurant.
Which I actually might go to.
You should. That
I
sounds
think
like
it's
a lot
cool.
of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'd be good.
Different than the robot hotel.
As long as bright lights and darkness don't bother you.
And yeah, and I've seen videos of the robot restaurant. There's like businessmen who are there, you know, after work, and they're in their suits and stuff, and they're super into it. And I kind of want to experience it for the people and the show at the same time. So it's really close by to me, the robot restaurant. So I might actually do that.
And then go to a Public Springs filled with wine.
Look how excited he looks. The ER guy just looks so happy.
I like how he's clearly wearing a fake wig. Like, yeah. There's no production value at all. It's just like, here, put this on, Jeff.
It's a bald cat for sure. Yeah. But yeah, there's also that spa that's really, really expensive, like you said. Like, you can either go to a spa that's filled with wine or coffee, or you said green tea was one of them.
Which is easy to do, because you can just fill
a bunch of Lipton's and just like throw it in the
wall. There's a YouTuber who did that. He was like, dared to do it or something. Oh, he said someone give him a number and he'll jump in that, or drink that much gallon of water, or tea. And they gave him this ridiculous number, so he had to fill a trash barrel.
Oh my god.
Like, he cleaned the trash barrel ridiculously, and then it was just so full, he's like, fuck it, and jumped into it.
Oh.
He absorbed it through his skin.
It's like, it's like people soup.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other one. It's ramen.
People soup
vending
machines?
Ow!
Aren't there's like liquors that have like fingers in them and stuff, aren't there?
What?
Like,
I'm not
that can't be legal.
I swear, I'm trying to think of where I saw this now. I swear I was watching like Discovery Channel or National Geographic or one of those channels, and they were talking about, yeah, there's some bar that sells a martini, but they put a like a thumb or a toe or something.
Are you sure it's not Wendy's?
Ha ha. Is it a Halloween themed bar though? Like, is it fake, obviously?
I don't remember. I just remember. It's one thumb that the guy has. Like, it's one toe that was donated or something to the cause.
Ew! Okay.
I think it's in America.
Yeah. Probably Louisiana. Speaking of, I don't know why I just named that country or that state.
That country,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right. That
a bar
country.
In
you
UConn serves a legendary drink containing a human toe.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
It's London.
Where
is London?
UConn.
UConn.
Mm-hmm. UConn.
UConn.
What's UConn?
It's out in the back of some guy's UConn.
Dawson City, UConn.
Was it?
Dawson City, UConn. It looks American because it's a former cowboy, truck driver, and professional wolf poisoner. That's literally
that is a very specific job. I have a degree in wolf poisoning.
Can you imagine you're in class, you're the one person there? Professor walks in all frazzled. Someone's finally taking his pose.
Someone's thinking wolf poisoning today.
This is okay, so
I have to teach it for a whole year? Oh.
Yeah. So, a former cowboy truck driver and professional wolf poisoner, Dick Stevenson, was poking around a cabin on the outskirts of Dawson City, Yukon in 1973 when he found a jar inside preserved in alcohol was a human toe.
And he was like, I wonder what it tastes like?
Apparently.
He was like, oh, it's actually pretty dang good.
Known for his madcap schemes, he boasts of having organized the first nude beauty contest north of the 60th parallel. The captain wondered how he could best make use of the toe. Then, after several drinks, it hit him. Cocktail garnish.
Wow.
Oh my god, this is so wrong!
Okay, so speaking
Thank
of...
Thank you, Jeff, for bringing this up to
You're
us.
Welcome.
Now we all know more.
I just love you guys so much, and I want you to have the best experience.
I think I'm more intrigued by wolf poisoner.
It's apparently originally adhered to a strict two-ingredient recipe. Champagne plus pickled toe.
Ew.
Ah!
Gross pickles. Do we have a
another weird place.
Speaking of, well, I was going to segue this back into Japan. Avoid bars, especially, like, if, I mean, I know you don't go to bars.
I wouldn't go
to
bars.
You shouldn't drink
anyway,
that much anyways.
But I've heard that there are certain places, probably near, I know, like, they have
Shinjuku.
A regular... yeah, Shinjuku.
Stop reading! What's wrong with you?
There's a chip that goes with it. Drink it fast or drink it slow.
I will take your phone from you.
Oh,
I will take your phone from you.
I'm just trying to make a noise.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. So
I think I lost a coin.
Like around Shinjuku, there's a lot of bars that are run by Yakuza, and there are people who will take advantage of foreigners who can't speak very much Japanese. And they
Please
will run you dry.
I'm not
of it. So like, yeah, it's not anywhere near that. But yeah, just like, don't accept offers from anybody who you can't understand.
Yes,
basically. Like that's.
I mean, that sounds like good advice for everyone, kids. Yeah.
Even in the United States.
Okay, I'm taking your phone.
Everything's fine, Jeff. Everything's fine.
She's still reading it.
This is her fault. I don't take blame for this anymore.
Do you want to know more about it? It's really weird.
Right. Nope.
Do you? Right. The same toe is used for every drink. Alcohol keeps it sterile, but incidents of accidental swallowing have resulted in a succession of donated toes. It's really gross.
Okay, we're done with this.
Yeah.
That's so
really gross.
We're, fans, we apologize for the brevity of this segment and that we're transitioning into the end of the podcast. We actually had recorded much, much more with much more banter and places to go. We hit the highlights, but we lost the audio. So we're definitely condensing what we had beforehand, but this
a lot of it was silent scrolling too for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And these were the highlights of what we found in our travels of
going I'm really interested in the Parasite.
Weird Japan.
Yeah, so you go to the Parasite. It's gonna be really gross, but it's in Meguro, I can try it.
I have to go through Shinjuku to get there.
Yeah.
So
we don't have any fan service because everything was given to us in the show.
Yeah, everything in fan service was through here. So.
Let's move on to our shameless plugs.
Sure. So if you guys want to join in the conversation, it won't matter for this conversation about weird places to go, but please tell us weird places in Japan that you find. Because I will already be in Japan when this episode comes out, so I will not be able to
go. Yeah, this
to
is
that.
Your last episode for like.
This is my last episode
two
for
months.
I mean, we can still message him and be like, you have to go to this place.
Yes, you can do that.
You can reach him on Facebook.
So, but otherwise, I probably won't have data over there because I'm not planning on getting like international SIM cards or any. Or I might call my phone provider to see if I can get a plan or something, but we'll see.
Facebook.
But yeah. So if you guys want to join in on the conversation, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post all the news updates and all that good stuff. In fact, we're going to be hitting more conventions in the next couple months.
I'll be at another anime convention.
You will.
For a day.
And then after I get back from Japan, literally the same week as Rhode Island Comic Con.
I'm so excited for that.
So
we haven't heard back from press about that yet.
Though. Yes, but that's okay.
I'll still buy a ticket either way if I have to.
You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime if you're not already listening to the podcast there, or on SoundCloud or iTunes. And you can also find our videos at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. But I highly recommend you visit youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can find the main hub of Wicked Anime's videos, where you can subscribe to us and watch cool videos and cool content. Stuff is in production right now. When it will come out, I have no guarantees and no promises, but there is, in fact, stuff in production, like Victoria being scared.
Yeah.
There's lots of that, isn't there?
We got two more videos.
Two more videos.
Okay.
Other social medias that you can find us on is Tumblr. You can find us at wickedanime.tumblr.com. You can also find us at Yo Wicked Anime. Tweet at us. Say, hey, Wicked Anime. We get a lot of tweets, so that's fun. I always like that kind of stuff. You can also find us at anywhere you can find your podcasting.
Yep. SoundCloud, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and Podchasers is another one that you can discover new podcasts too. Literally everything on there. And they just went to mobile. And if you still need a beta key to access, you use Nerdy Show, all one word, lowercase, or just Nerdy. We'll give you access to it. Podchasers is a new place for you to do reviews and stuff like that. It's going to be what Nerdy Show has been calling the iTunes killer.
Nice.
Interesting.
Because it's a very much easier, simpler way. Because in iTunes, you need a credit card in order to leave a review. However, you ever do that, we will read it on the show because we love you so much. And that's the easiest way to get people to know about Nerdy Show is through telling a friend.
Yeah. And also, we also have our Twitch channel, which may or may not be coming up again soon, because Senran Kagura is coming out really soon. Or at least we hope it is. I pre-ordered it.
And that's Wicked Anna Play.
Yeah, Wicked Anna Play at Twitch.
Yeah, and so then if you want to support us monetarily, which we hope that you do, it keeps the lights on. We're a completely fan-run. You can find us at nerdyshow.com/Patreon, or you can go to patreon.com/nerdyshow. Either one of those will get you information on how you can fund the network, and you get hours, any dollar amount, even $1 gets you hours upon hours of extra stuff from all around the network. It supports all the shows, and it helps us stay doing this for another 5 years. So,
I still can't believe it's been 5 years.
Yeah, it's been 5 years.
We act like 5-year-olds, so that works fine.
Talking about anime, woo! Jeff, where can they find you?
Where can they find me? That's a very good question. We do have a Facebook page, Geeks New England. We have a Twitter, which is, I believe it's my username. It's at Hagashi01. And if you want to send any messages to us or any emails, we're at geeksnewengland@gmail.com.
Great.
I guess that's it.
Cool. All right. So that's all we have for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. Everybody say bye, Andrew.
Oh, that's actually. I get to see you one more time.
Yes.
And hopefully.
Oh, that's true, me too.
Oh, no. I would prefer not to die.
What?
What?
I don't know. Where are you guys going?
Our DM's going to kill us.
Where are you guys going after the big battle?
I don't remember.
We're going to go get rain.
Wasn't it like towards our hometowns?
We're going to get rain.
Oh, we're in trouble.
Okay. Yeah, that's it for the episode of the
Wicked. I will see you guys in 2 months.
Yeah, and I cannot wait to see pictures and videos that Andrew is going to take while he's over in Japan. Take those pictures and videos!
I will. You can almost guarantee it. I have a really nice iPad Pro right now, so it's going to take some awesome Retina display pictures, and I will be taking pictures.
You're going to be that tourist with a big camera. Hello! Yes. Oh, man. Pictures is holding this up the giant world. Box.
In Japan with the big camera.
So, oh my God. Well, because I plan to draw art on top of them after I take pictures of them.
Mm-hmm.
No promises, but there may be a couple that I do that to occupy my time on my flight home.
Yeah,
that
makes
sense. This is going
to
be...
No, all of your time on your flight home is apparently going to be saved up for all these shows you have
Netflix
to watch.
That I haven't watched, so yeah. This is going to be really tough on our twin tuition. This is like the farthest we've ever been away from each other ever in our entire
lives. I'm so excited to be walking around a foreign country by myself with no responsibilities.
No responsibilities, no language...
So, we'll let you know when we find a dead Andrew.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that was dark.
I know, you gotta be careful. Well, that's like, no responsibilities, all of my own.
That's why I am That's why I am buying traveler's insurance, so that if I do end up being a dead body,
you better not be.
Home.
You better fucking not be.
Just don't go to North Korea and steal any signs.
People actually tour in North Korea. Like, what the heck?
And don't go there and steal a sign.
Literally, tourists going to North Korea, they're funding terrorism. Like, what the hell? People.
Yeah.
Stop doing that. Stop going to North Korea on vacation. It's not a vacation. It's a dictatorship.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So with that, I'm going to the country they're launching missiles over, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I get blown up, guys, if I get blown up, just know I'm happy and I'm dead serious about that.
You died in the place you were most happy to be in.
Yeah. Yes, no, I'm happy.
I don't want to think about this shit.
All right, guys. I will see you in 2 months. They'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah. So
I might actually try and be there more, so we'll see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. We have the seat open now. That.
Yeah.
Woo! So.
What?
What?
Okay, so.
I'm ring it.
It makes a pretty sound.
With that, thank you for listening. We will see you next time on the next episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. Time to sign off the only way we know how.
Okay, bye!
Poisoner MD
or Wolf Poisoner PhD.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
This is it.
You gotta go get your food.
I do have to go get my food.
Yeah, that pizza is gonna be cold.
Same time. They put it in the thing.